الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. So just continuing on from yesterday, inshallah, we spoke or we touched on the point regarding when we have the idea of taqwa, when we have the person in mind that we would say this particular individual is a muttaqi person, he has taqwa. A lot of the times we disconnect ourselves and we think that's not my level, that's not something that is really in my area of attainment. It's more for a small portion of really religious and really pious individuals. So then yesterday, very quickly, we mentioned that so many times in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in Surah Al-Shu'ara, you will find where many Anbiya alayhim salam, when they went to their people and they gave da'wah to Islam, these people are non-Muslim. They have not brought understanding of Iman yet. But the very first thing that the Anbiya alayhim salam, the likes of Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, you'd find in Surah Al-Shu'ara, they'll bring the story and then they would say, وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ نُوحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Over and over, so many times it's mentioned that when their brother came to them and they said to their people that, will you not have taqwa? We have this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then from that we understood that this idea of taqwa is not just a luxurious item. It's not just a case of something that, okay, we'll see how life pans out for me, and if I get to that stage of religiousness, then maybe I'll try to, you know, aspire for that. No, it's actually quite essential. The fact that non-Muslims are being told to take on this characteristic of taqwa, it shows us how essential it is. Just to kind of make it very clear that if a person doesn't have aspirations for taqwa, then they haven't even entered the race to save themselves from Jahannam. Put it this way. So this is taqwa. Now subhanAllah, I found a very beautiful chapter regarding this. And sometimes when we don't have the virtues of particular things or the advantages, what it may bring us, then we don't really try to have a yearning for it. So here, this is a chapter where an imam, a scholar, has tried to paint the path towards attaining a great level of piety in one's life. And he mentions a whole entire chapter regarding the various places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this mentioning of taqwa. So he mentions that there were over 150 ayat in the Quran where Allah explains the virtue of taqwa. But when he took away all the repetitions, then he just sufficed with the remaining. And he still left 63 ayat. And each of these verses, they mention taqwa and they mention a characteristic attached to them. And hopefully today, inshallah, what we'll do is just to try to give us a flavor of what taqwa is all about. What is it that if you do have taqwa, how can it add to your life? So he mentions so many ayat. I'm just going to take a few and just quickly do the translation of it and maybe a bit of a quick explanation as well, inshallah. So the very first he mentions in Surah Al-Hujurat, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the most noble one from amongst you are those who have the highest level of taqwa. That taqwa is the ingredient, is the quality inside of an individual that would place a person at the forefront of humanity. This is the quality. And the reason why this is so amazing is because I remember when our Ustad was teaching us, I'm not sure if it was this particular lesson, but he mentions that if you look towards all different types of lifestyle, all different walks of life, then you'll see that in order for a person to be the most successful, then the success is only applicable to a small minority of individuals, a small demographic. Ultimately, when we think about success, we speak about people who have high monetary value. They are very financially well off. They are able to have their own home, a piece of land, have an abundance of children and these sort of things. And they're doing very, very well. But this idea of success, which is shared by many, many ideologies, is only applicable to only a few individuals. What about people that were born into homelessness? What about people that were born with physical disabilities? What about people that were born in parts of the world where poverty is rife? What about people who are born into ethnicity backgrounds who are discriminated against? You know, you have the whole gentrification and all these sort of ideas that are taking place in the UK as well. There are systematic flaws in the whole of society up and down the world where certain people are held back, unfortunately, because of where life has just set them up. So that means this idea of success, how can it truly hold any value of truth? If success in this way was truthful, then surely it should be attainable by any individual of any given background. So this is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we don't measure success based on all these things. And success is attainable by any individual. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave honor to women. Khadija radiallahu anha, she was the first to embrace Islam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he ascended the Kaaba and he proclaimed the Adhan. A black Abyssinian slave was the one who was given this big honor. The likes of so many young children as well, they became such illustrious individuals. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People that are from backgrounds where seemingly society does not give them a big boost or a big chance, but Islam is the one that rose them. So what does it show? It shows that success, and this goes back to this point, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, that if we try to work on our level of taqwa, then that's the only thing that we need to care about and worry about, that this will then put me in the front. You may have people that are, you know, that you may see on public forums or in public platforms. They may have long beards. They may recite Quran very beautifully. They may have memorized so many, they might have memorized the whole entire Quran. They might have memorized a hadith. They might give such amazing lectures which really affect people, and people start saying, wow, mashallah, he's an amazing brother, he's so kind, he speaks so well, and he impacts. Sometimes we put ourselves in contrasting situations. Other people, they might be very generous with their wealth. This is the fadl of Allah. This is another ayah that we can use to help us, to kind of give ourselves a way to manage our life. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. All these other separate qualities and characteristics that we can see, Allah says that this is the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives to whomever He wills. Everyone is, you know, created and built very differently. We all have our own set of skills that are very distinct from one another. And there's always something that you will be good at. It's just a matter of finding what it is. But sometimes these different skills and characteristics, we shouldn't end up falling into a case of now comparing and contrasting and believing that some others are better than others. Allah gives us the answer, that this is purely the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He gives it to whomever He wills. I.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such divine wisdom, He knows that a person with the level of, you know, strength of willpower, if I give him wealth, then he will be able to use it in a correct way. But others, they might have characteristics where they squander wealth. So if he was to be given opportunity towards riches, then maybe he might, you know, waste that money. So many different things, so many internal qualities Allah gives based on His superior and divine wisdom. But then we ignore that. So we kind of allow ourselves to have an answer for these sort of things. So what then do we put our focus towards? That how can we become the most God-fearing individual? Because Allah is saying that this is going to be the one that sets you apart. And this is attainable by a layman, it's attainable by a scholar, it's attainable by any individual of society. This is our focus. SubhanAllah, there's so many other things. There's a lot of things, you know, I can't really mention all of them, but anyway, the author, what he does is he just mentions a lot of the qualities and characteristics attained or connected to taqwa. So he says, فَمَا مِنْ خَصْلَةٍ مِنْ خِصَالِ الْخَيْرِ أَكْثَرَ ذِكْرًا وَثَنَاءً عَلَيْهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ التَّقْوَى. There is no quality and no characteristic of any goodness which is more abundantly mentioned and praised than taqwa in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَأَمَّلْ فِي مَا كَتَبْنَا مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. So ponder upon all these other verses that we have mentioned just earlier. كيف كان المتقي أكرم عند الله تعالى. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a muttaqi person the most honored person individual. ومقبول الطاعة, and a person whose obediences, his actions are accepted. I.e. he's referring to the verses that show that Allah only accepts the actions of the muttaqi person, prompting us, encouraging us that if I strive for this quality, then I can have some hope that all these Ramadans that have gone past, all those times that I've spent in Taraweeh, all those times that I've woken up for Fajr Salah, then hopefully, if I had taqwa during those times, then I can have hope that Allah has accepted those actions, because Allah has cemented it in the Quran that Allah only accepts إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُوا مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَوَلِيَّهُ. See, again, another quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the person that has taqwa to be his friend, to be the person that has been granted the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَبِيبَهُ, and he's also become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَيْفَ كَانَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ وَلِيًّا وَمُحِبًّا مُزَكِّيًّا وَنَاصِرًا. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself becomes, for that individual who has taqwa, a friend, a beloved beloved, and a person, and one who purifies, and who also assists. This is the quality that Allah gives to that muttaqi person. وَكَيْفَ كَانَتْ لَهُ الْعَاقِبَةَ وَالْآخِرَةَ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. And how a person that has taqwa, he then ends up the one who has the best of outcomes, the one who has the hereafter and the most beautiful of abodes. وَكَيْفَ أُعِدَّتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةَ. And how the muttaqi individual, he becomes someone that Jannah is prepared for him. Not just given to him, it's prepared, it's, you know, thought out, it's, you know, made special for him. وَأُورِثَتْ, and he has inherited it. He has now been given it because of his the position that he has occupied. وَوُعِدَتْ, and not only that, he has also been promised it. If a person attains taqwa, then he has been promised paradise. There is no way that Allah is going to go against his promise. وَكَانَتْ دَارًا, and it becomes his home. وَكَيْفَ كَانَتِ التَّقْوَى لِلْآخِرَةِ زَادًا وَلِبَاسًا. And how taqwa itself, when we are making our journey to the hereafter, in this life it becomes our provision and it becomes our clothing. وَكَيْفَ أُضِيفَتْ إِلَى الرَّئِيسِ الْأَشْرَفِ. And how taqwa is such a quality that it's only been attributed to leaders and most noble of individuals. وَكَيْفَ أُمْتُحِنَ بِهَا. And how an individual, he is also tested as a result of trying to acquire taqwa, because it's not cheap. You're going to find challenges, you're going to find tests, because the author mentions so many ways in how a person has to go through different aspects of his life with regards to sins committed by the eyes, sins committed by the tongue, sins committed by our physical limbs. And beyond that, he mentions and brings first all the diseases of the heart, from anger, from jealousy, from hatred, from pride, from jealousy and envy and all these sort of things. These are all the little hurdles we have to go through throughout our lives, and he goes through all these things. Inshallah, we'll go through some of them in this month of Ramadan as well. But he continues to say, so he mentions that it's something that we are going to be challenged for. وَكَيْفَ جُعِلَتْ سَبَبًا لِلْخَيْرِيَّ وَكِتَابَةِ الرَّحْمَةِ. How it becomes a means, i.e. taqwa becomes a means for all goodness in this world as well. We feel a richness in this world as well. And it becomes how rahmah becomes cemented for us. وَكَيْفَ خُصَّ لَهَا كَوْنُ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى هُدًا وَمَوْعِظَةً وَذِكْرًا. SubhanAllah, this is a very good point. I'll just explain a bit as well. How taqwa is also specified to be in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a way to be guidance and a reminder and for the one who has taqwa. Now let's have a look at this. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Alif Lam Mim, of course only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the meaning of these letters. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. He declares that this is the book in which there is absolutely no doubt. And then he mentions هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a guidance. This book is a guidance for the muttaqi individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically is mentioning that only those who are really making an effort, who are really trying, who are really going against their nafs, who are really trying to overcome the battles that they are facing with different diseases of the heart, with different sins that they are going through, these people that are trying, for them, then this Quran becomes truly a guidance. But so long as we're not making this effort, then the fact of the Quran being a means of guidance will may not possibly applied to us. This is how essential it is. This Quran that we are reading, in order for it to benefit us, that we have to have this taqwa. Then when you look at this, subhanAllah, and the month of Ramadan being the month of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, just as it has been on those before you, so that you may now attain this quality of taqwa. So inshallah, what's the connection? That if we go through this month of Ramadan, and fasting in the most absolute perfect way, which we mentioned previously already, that it's not just staying away from food and drink and permissible desires with one spouse, it's also refraining from sins. That's the whole point, that we are now building ourselves to now reach this level of taqwa. So once you've done this, once you fasted in this way, then hopefully you have now attained taqwa. And now once you've done this, then outside the month of Ramadan, perhaps even earlier during the month of Ramadan, now when you're standing up in Taraweeh Salah, this Quran that you're listening to will become a form of guidance, a form of reminder. Sometimes even just a small word that you hear, Jannah and Jahannam. There are individuals, they have no understanding of Quran. But because the softness of their heart, and this is what fasting allows us to have, it removes the harshness and hardness of our heart. When a person fasts in this way, then subhanAllah, even a few words that he understands, even that is enough for the tears to start flowing. Even that is enough for a person to start having these tears flowing. SubhanAllah, there was one individual in Plasher Road Masjid many, many years ago, I remember. He was an African brother. And it was Dhuhr Salah. It was Dhuhr Salah. It was one of the quiet prayers. And the brother was crying. And then afterwards, some of the young brothers, they asked, you know, you're crying quite a lot, are you okay? He says, in the salah that we are reading, Quran is being read, and I'm crying because I don't understand what Allah is saying. Even though I can't hear it, but I know Quran is being recited, and I don't know what the message is that Allah is giving. These are people that, even though they don't know what's being recited, let alone not knowing, it's not even being heard. It's not even being recited to their ears for them to even listen to. Despite that, even then Quran, the thought of it is such that it makes a person cry and weep. And this is something very, if we are able to cry in this Ramadan, then inshallah you should make this your target. Because the tears that flow out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like bleach. It's purifying ourselves. It's ridding all the sins away from our heart. And a person that fears Allah to this extent, then he is from amongst the seven categories in which they will receive the shade under the throne of Allah on the day where there is no other shade. Tears, crying out of fear of Allah is very, 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 exclusive. It's very, very expensive. Not everyone is able to do so. So, carrying on, just a few more points and then we'll end over here, inshallah. That Quran, a person that has taqwa within them, finally, Quran can become a means of guidance for him. وَكَيْفَ جُعِلَتْ غَايَةَ لِلْعِبَادَةِ. How taqwa becomes the pinnacle of worship and the pinnacle of dhikr. وَالْقِصَاصِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالتَّبِّيِّنِ وَالْإِنذَارِ وَالتَّوْصِيَةِ وَالْعَدْلِ. The pinnacle of justice, والعف and forgiveness. وَكَيْفَ كَانَ شَرْطًا وَسَبَبًا لِلْمَثُوبَةِ. And how it's also conditional for a person to now receive any thawab, any reward. وَدَفْعِ الْكَيْدِ. And to remove any plotting and any schemes of any harmful individuals. وَالْإِمْدَادِ وَالْإِتْيَانِ بِمَا يَجِبُ الْعَزْمُ عَلَيْهِ. And it becomes a reinforced support and help. وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ. And forgiveness. وَالرَّحْمَةِ بِالْوَعْدِ وَالصَّادِقِ. وَتَكْفِيرِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And it also removes all the sins that we have done. Adopting taqwa, it removes all our past mistakes. So anyway, we've mentioned quite a few things. Hopefully, inshallah, this has given us a flavor of what taqwa is all about. These things that he has mentioned, he has summarized it from all these ayat that mention taqwa. And as he said, there are over 150 verses. Hopefully, inshallah, what we'll do next, we'll go through, inshallah, how we can start thinking about taqwa in a way that we can practically bring it into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this Ramadan, where we finally adopt this beautiful quality. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
So when